This is Willie Terry, your Roman labor correspondent for the Hudson Mohawk Network. Tonight you will hear second installment of my new roundtable discussion entitled The Struggle Continues. And you will hear the first of several segments. I have as my regular panel to discuss issues Leon Van Dyke, who is an activist and a member of the Brothers, Dave Walker, an activist, labor leader, and teacher, Carlos Dolfer, who is an activist and was involved in the civil rights movement and the Poor People Campaign, and Angel Martinez, who is an activist and also involved in the Poor People Campaign today. Now, today's discussion topic is lessons learned from the civil rights movement to the Black Lives Matter movement. We have a good panel who has many years being involved in the struggle, and they are still active today. Now, the discussion has already began, so let's chime in.
It's a powerful piece that he took off some time from his activities on the NAACP and wrote during the 30s. So I would say that was the first major step in our struggle.
Now, I just want to clarify something. You're talking about that movement came during Reconstruction?
The chronology is that Douglas insisted, while the Union was losing, that black troops would make the difference. And you had the black troops enlisting in the army and making a difference in the Civil War. It was our troops that were making a difference in the Civil War. So after the Civil War, all these things were enacted to all our rights were supposed to be enacted. Citizenship, the right to vote, this and that. And that led to the first time for black legislators taking over in many states in the South. And then it was the Hayes-Tilden Compromise, where the sellout was, and the South went back to being a segregationist center. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying that Du Bois wrote the great piece in the mid-30s called Black Reconstruction, and he spells out exactly what happened during that period. So that was the first period.
Okay.
Blacks played a key role in the Spanish-American War. They saved the Teddy Roosevelt, San Juan Hill. I mean, so blacks have been struggling and World War One and onward. So, but that should be the part of the chronology of how we participated in the American struggle for justice, so-called struggle for justice.
Okay. So what about you, Leon?
I'd like to jump on what Dave was saying. And the contributions that we made are so many to this country and it's forgotten. And certainly the Civil War, the example that Dave gave, the Civil War and our contributions, we probably would not have a United States of America if it wasn't for those 300,000 black soldiers who fought in the Civil War, taking the place of many other white Americans who were deserting by large numbers. At the very least, that contribution made it possible for us to get an unconditional surrender from the South at that time. Right. But there were a number of other contributions I like to point out, because it's not covered too much in our history books, and that's the role of blacks who fought in the American Revolutionary War, and not just blacks on the side of the rebels, so to speak, but more blacks fought in the American Civil War on the side of the British, because the British issued a proclamation that any slave, and this is called the Dunmore Proclamation, any slave who helped to join to put down the rebels would be British citizens. Now, we don't know too much about that history because it's not talked about. But in England, they have what they call a Black Loyalist Study. In Canada, they have Black Loyalist Day commemorating the contributions that those blacks made. So I would say that is significant in many, many ways. Most slaves and free men were sympathetic to the British as opposed to the Americans during that time. I know that's not commonly talked about, but it's true. And it's like dozens of books written about it, not so much by Americans. There's like three or four American authors who have talked about this. So I would say Black Loyalists was one. And another period, and I would dare to say, I certainly would lump in what Danny said, the contribution that we made by blacks in the American Civil War. But the other thing is the apartheid system that alluded that the South built starting after the Great Compromise, 1887, and they built a segregated system that we, in the 60s, along with Dave and many, many other who I call heroes and sheroes, changed with that civil rights movement. Another period, at the risk of time, I would point out is that we had in the 1840s, we had a national black conference every year by abolitionists. And the first conference was in Albany. Frederick Douglass participated in it, a whole bunch of you. And it was the black abolitionists that was the foundation of the abolitionist movement. So I would say those, there were two, I mean, so many, but I just point out two for the sake of time.
Oh, okay. Well, we have Carlos and Angel on the phone. How y'all doing?
All right.
We're doing all right, man.
All right.
I'm listening to what he said.
All right, yeah. And Carlos is an activist. He's was involved in the civil rights movement, and also he's involved in the Poor People Campaign. And Angel Martinez is an activist, and he's involved in the Poor People Campaign. Carlos and Angel, we're at that first question that we're dealing with. We're talking about what was some of the major movements in black history.
I think one of the main movements was, it was the time of the abolitionists. Martin Delaney, who was in Pittsburgh, people in Boston, that he wrote that newspaper that still exists. I can't remember it right now. It might be The Guardian. And he wrote this. So I think that one of the keys was it was always fighting for the very contributions of what people gave, of being made money of, is not treated as a human being, and that little constitution that they claim it is, two-fifths of a man, that it takes two to make one white person. I think one of the keys to the question was it was always the struggle. The contributions of Harriet Tubman, that many of them, she said, I remember she used to carry a pistol, and many of them didn't even know that they were slaves. They believed the narrative of what they were told, even to this day. It's almost similar. So from the very contributions of those people, like he said, who were the Black Empire Loyalists that went over to Nova Scotia, that went over to New Brunswick and to Ontario, they played a part, but they were also betrayed by the British because they never really gave them, it was still rape with segregation and gave them the worstest land when they settled in New Brunswick and in New and in Nova Scotia. But the key to the question was is that everybody was always struggling for the basic rights of fighting for human rights, to be treated as a human being. Many people participated in the, what they call the American Revolution, which was basically a revolution of white slave masters who didn't think of nobody as a human being if you didn't have a piece of property. And it was mostly the white slave masters who made their money, filthy rich from slavery. Mm-hmm. So this is that. So it all boils down from the Civil War that people died, many people who were still slaves, and then they finally, if they got themselves together from the Underground Railroad that ran from all over the country, from New York, all over New Jersey, all over the country, that fought for the very decency of being a human being. I think that one of the keys to the question has always been the fight for human rights.
Right.
All this other make-believe thing comes out of people who don't have intentions for us.
All right.
To say, you know, they always have to say civil rights. How could it be civil rights when it deals with the very essence of a human being allowed to vote? And he's a citizen, and he's denied the very aspects of being a human being, very denied a very essence of having a job to support his family.